Again, it is great to see you this morning. Thank you very much for being a part of our services here at Azalea City. Just got a text from my buddy Travis, who works in a deacon in administration, and he just told us that we're real close to 300 people today, one of our bigger crowds since COVID. And so thank you very much for being here, and thank you very much for who you are, church. Love you very much, and I appreciate you. Appreciate all those who have played a part in our service today. It's been just like I said at the beginning, we know the presence of the Lord is in this place. Ecclesiastes 11 that Dale just read to us is a chapter of the Bible. We're talking about kings in my Bible class, and Solomon is obviously king of Israel, and he obviously started out well, didn't do so well, but he writes a memoir, really, if you will, of Ecclesiastes. And he talked about all the bad things that he did, all the mistakes that he made. And Solomon made a lot of mistakes. He started out doing what his father David told him to do, but then he slipped. He slipped because he allowed the world in. He allowed the world in, but there in chapter 11, just a very practical chapter, and then he gets to the end of it and he says, you know, everything I've done has been vanity. It's been meaningless. It's been empty. It's left me empty. I've tried everything under the sun, and there's nothing that can bring comfort, peace, and joy to anyone but God Himself. He said, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is man's all. What he's saying there is this. One of the greatest things that the greatest thing we should do on this earth is serve God. But along the way, we've got to make an impact. We've got to make a difference. And, you know, I want to talk with you this morning about making a difference. What a blessing it is to be part of God's forever family, right? I mean, think about it. Today, we are part of the greatest institution that's ever or will ever be established. And all we did was submit to the King. Once we submitted to the King, He did all the work. He washed our sins away and He added us to this place. But here's what He said. He said, hey, just because you're a member of the Azalea City Church of Christ, the Church of our Lord, just because you're a member of the church that belongs to my Son, you can't just sit there on the pew. You can't just be a bystander. You got to get up. You got to be busy. You got to make an impact. Our job in this Christian mission is to plant seeds and water where we can. But see, every seed that we plant and every watering that we do allows somebody the opportunity to obey God. And the more seed we plant and the more watering we do, the more God is going to supply that increase. It's about making an impact in this world for Jesus Christ. Now let's face it, we do live in a world that's got a lot of noise. You know, I told you many times before of all my struggles in life, but one of my struggles that at times can be okay because I can multitask, but I have attention deficit disorder. And so if there's a lot of people talking and a lot of noise and a lot of things going on, typically I am playing ping pong in my brain. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. So there's a lot of noise sometimes. It distracts us, right? It gets us off focus. Well, in this world, folks, I like to tell you that there's a lot of noise out there. I mean, I don't like to tell you, but I hate to tell you there is a lot of noise out there. There's a lot of distraction out there. And all of us, Satan's going to use some attention deficit distractions to keep us from focused on Jesus Christ. That's why I love what the Hebrew writer said, as Virgil did a great job reading from Hebrews to reflect our minds on the Lord's Supper today. But the Hebrew writer also said in Hebrews chapter 12 that we need to get rid of the things that slow us down. He said, get rid of the things that trap you. Get rid of the things that slow you down. And do what? Focus your attention on the author and finisher of our faith. The author and finisher of our faith is Jesus Christ. And in order to get rid of the noise, get rid of the distractions, We got to focus on Jesus. That means we got to get busy. We got to get busy making a difference. Bo read to us from Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16 just a moment ago. And that's a verse that we're very familiar with typically. It's obviously right there at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, but it's really about our mission. Jesus called us to be this. He said, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but they put it on a lampstand. Why? So it gives light to all who are in the house. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. We are the light of this world. Now think about that. If you were to pull all the light out of this world, it would just be darkness. You pull light out of anything and it's darkness. That's what it is. It's the absence of light. But you've been in dark places before. And those dark places where your eyes do not adjust, right? It remains dark. You can see a speck of light a long way away. Because that little bit of light starts illuminating that darkness. And once that light takes over, there is no more darkness. Today, Jesus Christ is the light, and we are to follow that light. We are to blaze the forest with fire, turning this world upside down as they did in the book of Acts. But in order to do that, you and I have to accept the calling. The calling is, be light in this dark world. Now, some things that we do as preachers is sometimes we preach, or oftentimes we preach the sermons, and we make it about we. And it should be about we, because we all need to learn something from it. But right now, I just want you to think about you. I want you to again, this is a time of examination. And so what I want you to do and what I want myself to do, and I've done that as I've been going through this study, I want you to look at your individual life, your individual role, whether you are a brand new member here, whether you've been a member here for a long time, whether you are a teenager, whether you are a fellow mature person in age. Wherever you are, I want you to think about your walk right now. I want you to think about your role. Matthew chapter 5, 14 through 16, really that whole section of Scripture, Jesus gave us a role. The first thing He told us is, be light. Light, again, as we just said, has a powerful impact. That light dispels darkness. We as Christians are called to be that light. So my question to you today is this, are you light? Or are you darkness? Now you might say, hey Terry, I'm not darkness. No, that's kind of cold. Well, let me ask you this, are you kind of halfway light and halfway darkness? Are you like that time of day when the sun is, as we say, going down, or we're turning away from it, as the sun is going down and you can barely see that just a little bit of daylight left, is that you? Well, let me say this, if you're not all light, then you are darkness. If I'm not all light, I am darkness. You see, God called me to be different. He called me to step out of this world, just like He called you. This world is darkness, and there's a lot of distractions. And I 100% believe in praying for this country and praying for our elections. You heard me do it this morning. You heard Bubba do it. I agree with that. But no matter what happens in November, you and me, the church as a whole, we still have a responsibility to be light. We've got to be light. There's too much darkness. And we can't let that darkness creep into the church. Oh, Terry, it can't creep into the church. Bologna. That's baloney. Darkness can creep in anywhere if we allow it. Darkness can creep in anywhere if we allow it. If I'm not being the light, if some days I'm light and some days I'm hazy, then I'm darkness. I got to be the light. That's my job. Well, you know what else he did in this passage? Earlier in the verse 13, he called us to be salt. Verse 13, he talked about, you're the salt of the earth. And he talks about that salt. If it loses its flavor, what does it do? It's good for nothing. You just throw the meat out and the way there and people walk on it and everything. Again, you understand the times, right? There was no refrigeration. They didn't have a way to keep things cold. And they didn't have garbage pickup. So what happened is they would soak things in salt and that would preserve it. And it would keep the flavor and it would keep it from rotting and keep it from going bad. But when it did go bad, that salt lost its seasoning or lost and didn't do what it was supposed to do. They just threw it out and people just walked all over it. Could you imagine? That's a disgusting scene. But that's what sin is to God. It's disgusting. So God called us to be salt. You are salt. I am salt. What does that salt do? We need to preserve the truth. There are people today that are going to be worshiping. And hey, I'm proud of the number we have here, but there are going to be people that have double, triple the numbers we have, and they are still not going to worship truth. And see, that's a scary thought. That's why you can't listen to the preacher. I mean, I hope you do, but you know what I mean. You can't take my word for it. You got to look it up. You got to study it. Because if you just take a person's word for it and you can't back it up with the verses, then folks, that's allowing darkness right in. Satan would want nothing more than for the church to be divided. He did it with the family. The family was good. It was God's institution. Everything that God made has been good. The only thing that wasn't good in God's opinion was man being alone. So what did he do? He formed the family. Satan slithered right in. He destroyed the family, he'll try to destroy the church. Again, it's God's creation. We've got to preserve it. But then also, salt brings seasoning. I like salt. My doctor may not want me to like salt so much. I don't know, I'm not there yet. But I like salt. Why? Because it brings a flavor. Well, see, we've got to allow others to understand that Jesus is not yuck. Being Christians is not gross. It's not hard. It's not icky. Whatever words you want to use there, don't let it be a negative thought. Being Christians is good. Being Christians is phenomenal. Being Christians, that's an amazing thing. It tastes good. It makes everything better. And so there's the thought process out there that people outside these walls, not in here, outside these walls, they do not want you to be a follower of Christ. They do not want you to be salt. They do not want you to be light. But we can't listen to the noise. We can't get distracted by the noise. Again, make it personal now. All right, so in this scripture, he calls you to be light. He calls you to be salt. So you know what he did? He's called us to make an influence. Make an influence. Our actions, our words, our attitudes. Please don't miss this point. Our actions, our words, and our attitudes can either draw people closer to Christ or push them away. That's strong. That's a lot of influence. You know, the Bible reminds us that clearly you are letters, right? You are letters clearly written. When we are called and we answer the calling to obey Jesus Christ, to obey God, and we're immersed in water and God adds us to the church, Paul said, hey, you're a letter that's clearly written. You're an epistle that's clearly written. You know what that means? Is people are reading you and they're reading me. What are they reading? Is it Christian rated or is it world rated? And I'm not just talking about the words. Of course you understand I'm talking about the words that come out of our mouths. But I'm not just talking about that. What about our attitudes? Hey, man, this is on one hand, somebody's so excited about this ministry. Hey, man, we're going to do this at church. And on the other hand, we've got old Joe Blow over here that says, oh, man, that's not going to work. That's terrible. That's a terrible idea. That person still has a circle of influence. You see, negativity is contagious. I try to get negativity out of my life. You know why? Because I've been a negative person before. I've been very negative. There's a time in my life that again, I think some of it had to do with an imbalance in my brain, but I also believe it just was because I allowed so much negative in. But I was sitting in my office one day, years ago, reading Philippians chapter 1. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 12, Paul writes these words. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. Now, that's not John 3:16. That's not Philippians 4:13. That's not one of these, you know, very, very just popular, famous verses, right? But to me, Philippians 1, verse 12 is a popular verse. It's a famous verse because Paul, let me say it again. I want you to know, brethren, the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. Do you know what happened to Paul? He was beaten. He was in prison. He was stoned. He was shipwrecked. He was bitten by a snake. He was in danger after danger after danger after danger after danger. And his attitude was, from a prison cell, the things which I went through turned out to advance the gospel. That's making an impact. That's being positive. That is allowing your influence to matter in a great way. So, we understand our role. Then we need to know individually, again, we've got to make an impact in our lives or in others' lives through our lives. And the first thing we need to talk about is personal integrity. In a world where moral standards are constantly changing, think about that. There are some people that are in this room that are of an age that you never thought the moral standard would be where it is today. Man, what a, you know, just in a few decades, really, how moral standards have fallen. In a world where moral standards are constantly changing and shifting, we must hold fast to the truth of God's Word. Our integrity should be evident in how we conduct ourselves at work, at home, and in our communities. I've said this before about the family. Let's talk about at home for a moment. At my home, I have locks on my doors, locks on my windows, deadbolts on those doors. I have an alarm system on my home with cameras. I also have a cabinet full of guns. Why do we do that? Because it makes us feel safe, right? And I'm sure I'm not the Lone Ranger in that. I'm sure I'm not the only one. Probably several of us could say that. But do you know, once we get those doors locked, those windows locked, those deadbolts locked, that alarm set, and make sure we know where the key to the gun cabinet is, we feel secure, but sometimes we've locked in all the dangers because we're the danger. We're the danger to our children. Again, it's that mentality of, hey, once I come to worship today and I go home and I put my regular clothes on, then I take Jesus Christ off and put the world on. And do you know that some, you got to make it personal, is it you, is it me? Some, the only Jesus their family is getting is on Sunday morning. One time, not twice. Not at Bible class, not at Wednesday night. Think about that. One, I know it's more than an hour. but an hour and some change. And that is all that Jesus and church, some families, are getting. Because they're not reading their Bibles, they're not praying, they're not talking about God, they're just living life because I've checked it off. You got to take some integrity. I've got to take some... That's why we're making it personal right now. Is that me? What about at work? What about my neighborhood? Proverbs 11, verse 3, the integrity of the upright will guide them. The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. I got to take some personal integrity, personal responsibility. Secondly, if I'm going to make an impact through our life, through my life, then I got to love others. Again, salt, light, right? That's what we are, making an impact. Jesus teaches us in John 13, 34, and 35, love one another. How? As He has loved us. We sang it earlier, I love Him because He first loved me. The love that we have for God and for others should be evident, not just in words, but in action. See, words can be cheap. If I go home today and say to my wife, hey, honey, I love you, and I do. I will say that, and I do. And then I run her down, and I verbally abuse her, or I even step outside of my marriage on her, then you know what that was? Just talk. Those words were just talk. Hey, Jesus, I love you. And listen, I believe that is true. I believe that you do love Jesus. I mean, I don't think He'd be here if He didn't. Jesus, I love you, but then I'm going to take God's name in vain. And then I'm going to allow garbage to come in and influence my life. And I'm going to cut up with my buddies at work in a foul way. Or I'm going to gossip and run these people down. And I'm going to do this. And I'm not going to read the Bible. And I'm not going to study. And I'm going to hate others. Were those just words then to Jesus? You see, when we love God and we love others, we make a powerful impact that points people to Christ. Practically, we can love others by helping others. We can love others by being patient and kind, even when it's difficult. We can love others by forgiving others as Christ has forgiven us. Thirdly, when it comes to our own personal life, we need to have that personal integrity. We need to love others, but we also need to share the gospel. Making an impact on others isn't just about living a good life. It's not just about loving others. It's about sharing the good news of Jesus. In Romans 10, 14, Paul wrote, how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a, it says preacher there, but let's say evangelist. Because I am the preacher here at Azalea City, but you all and myself are the evangelists. We are the ones to take the good news to others. Folks, we've got to share the gospel. We have got to share. If we're going to make an impact on this, and by the way, I believe it is commanded, right? In Matthew, the Great Commission, go into all the world, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things. You know, that's called the Great Commission. Yes, He was making it to His disciples then, but He's making it to us now. We've got to share the gospel. We've got to live the gospel. Others need to see Jesus living in us. That's what Matthew 5 is all about. You are the light of the world. So we've got to be bold in sharing our faith. Listen, being bold doesn't mean you have to be argumentative. I refuse to argue. over the gospel. I've done it. Trust me, I have done it. I have gone in both barrels blazing just to notch my belt and say, hey, I've got the truth and I'm going to win. But I'm not doing that anymore. If somebody just wants to argue and they don't really want to share the gospel and they don't want to hear the gospel, I'm just going to shake the dust off and move to the next person. That's where we got to be. Okay, it's not about notching our belts. Not about just saying, hey, I'm right. That's pharisaical. It's about loving others truly, caring for souls, and sharing the gospel and the good news so that they can come to know Jesus just like I have, just like you have. So that's about us individually, right? Those last few points have been about us individually. So now let's talk about how we do it as a church. The first thing we need to understand is we are a community of believers. You know, listen, I don't know why. I wish that things didn't have different concepts and meanings and all that. But when I say we are a community of believers, listen, folks, that's not a bad term. To say we're a community, listen, I understand there's community church and all this and all that. But when I say we're a community of believers, that's what they were in Acts 2. They were a community of believers. They were a neighborhood of believers. And they looked out for one another, and they helped one another, and they were there for one another. We've got to be that here at Azalea City. We've got to be a community. We've got to be a neighborhood. We've got to hold the gospel as and the Word of God as the truth, and we've got to stand on the truth, but we've got to be there, and we've got to love, and we've got to help. And by the way, I think we do a great job of that. I think you do. I really do. But as a church, that's our calling, right? What did he say? We're a city that's set on a hill. We're that lamp that you light, that lamp, and you don't put it under a basket. You put it on the lampstand so that it will illuminate. When people think of Azalea City Church of Christ, what do they think about? I hope they think about love, and I hope they think about Jesus, and I hope they think about God and all the good things, right? But listen, why is it so important that I get it right individually? Because every individual that doesn't get it right, it's a reflection on us as a community of believers. Nobody here is perfect, except these little babies. But those of us that are of age, we're not perfect. We're going to mess up. We're going to make mistakes. But we need to right those mistakes. It would hurt my heart so bad if I were at work and I just acted, for lack of a better word, a fool. Did exactly what I wasn't supposed to do. And then somebody said, hey, did you hear old Terry went to Azalea City? That's where he goes to church. Then somebody says, hey, I'm from Azalea City. You want to go to church? Terry Cagle goes there. There is no way. Wouldn't that be terrible? Because, see, my life, the way I live, it's a reflection on God and the church. And that's why we got to look out for one another and be what we need to be for one another. When we unite in purpose, our collective impact is far greater than what any one of us could achieve alone. Again, Acts 2, 42-47, it's such a beautiful scene of the church. They made an impact through their devotion to the apostles' doctrine, through fellowship, through breaking of bread, prayer, and care for one another. Also, though, as we make an impact as a church family, we got to serve together. The body of Christ, we have different gifts and talents. I love 1 Corinthians 12. It talks about there the body, all the different parts of the body, that everyone has a role. And we need to do our role. We talked even this morning in my class about we might know what our talent is, but sometimes we need to stretch ourselves. Maybe we need to step out of our comfort zone a little bit. Maybe that will help us to grow even more. But we need everybody. Just if a few are making an impact for the church, what could everybody do? Think about that. What could everybody do? 12 started it. It was 11, they added the 12th one. 12 had 3,000 respond to the invitation in Acts 2. It grew to 5,000 men just a chapter or so later. Then they quit counting, said it was growing by multitudes. Then they said, hey, they turned the world upside down. It started with 11, essentially. What could we do? You know what? Same responsibility we have as individuals, we have as a church. Outreach and evangelize. Listen. Our mission today, as we came together to worship, is to praise God. Our time right now is to challenge ourselves, examine ourselves. But when we say the amen of that closing prayer and we go out in the world, our responsibility then is to outreach and to evangelize. We are to look out for others, help others, try to draw others closer. Again, we have local outreaches. We have missions. Maybe it's just simply inviting somebody to come worship with us. But if we do it right, we can make a lasting impact for the kingdom. And see, all that sounds great. You amen it and you agree with it and everything because it's biblical, right? But guess what? Satan doesn't. And so you know what he does? He puts obstacles up. There are a lot of obstacles he can put in our way. But here are a few. Fear and doubt. Why don't we invite more people to church or to worship? Fear of rejection. Listen, I've been turned down. Others have been turned down. Jesus Christ has been turned down. But again, it's our responsibility to plant and to water. We can't allow fear and doubt to keep us from being what God wants us to be and making an impact. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. You know what another obstacle is Satan throws in our way? Complacency. It's easy to become comfortable and complacent thinking someone else will do it. I've used the illustration before. It's probably silly and I know it is. But I think you'll get the point. Let's say we walk in today and there's a piece of paper on the ground. Instead of reaching over and picking it up, we complain about it. I'm not saying we do this, but just stay with me. We complain about it. You believe there's a piece of paper right here on the ground? And then we like get mad like, well, why is the teenagers not picked it up? They the ones need to be doing service projects around here. So now I'm mad at Taylor and I'm mad at Justin and I'm mad at Terry because that's who's over. Taylor's youth minister, Justin's deacon, Terry's elder over that. I'm mad at all of them. The teenagers, they're sorry, kids today. So I'm going to call the elders of the church. Let's have a meeting together. Can you believe this? All because we wouldn't pick the piece of paper up. I know that's silly. But sometimes the mindset is it's somebody else's job. It's not mine. Well, how do you know it's not yours? How do you know God didn't call you for that moment? James 4:17 should sum it up. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Don't get complacent spiritually. He also puts busyness in our face. In our fast-paced lives, we become so busy we neglect the good things of God. We got to be intentional in setting aside time. It's got to be an intention. Whether you got to get up 15 minutes earlier, 30 minutes earlier, or go to bed 30 minutes earlier, whatever it may be, make time for God. You're not too busy. It doesn't take long. In 5 minutes, and it will be more than 5 minutes because you're going to fall in love with it. But in 5 minutes, you could read Psalm 23. You could meditate on it for a couple moments. You could spend time in prayer about it. And you can go out the door in 5 minutes knowing that the Lord is your shepherd. Quit making excuses, right? Let's quit being too busy. It's about making an impact. It's about being the light. It's about being the salt. So as we get ready to conclude, I want to encourage you right now to get ready to take action. We can't just be hearers of the word. We must be doers. So I want you to ask yourself right now, what can I do? And I want you to set some time aside to really ask yourself, what can I do this week to make an impact for Jesus Christ? Who can I reach out to? how can I let my light shine? Galatians 6:9, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Now we're getting ready to stand and sing. And at that invitation, at that song, we have the opportunity to make a difference, to make an impact. But as they say in the younger generation, let's have some real talk. Let's be real. At the invitation, if you're not yet a Christian, you can walk this aisle, and I hope that you will. We've prayed for it. Prayed for you. And you'll confess Jesus and be immersed in water for the remission of sin. There are a lot of obstacles now going to try to keep you from doing that, but don't listen to them. But there's also an opportunity for anybody who has a public sin to come forward. A lot of people come, maybe coming back home, maybe something they've done, maybe they've got a prayer request and they just pray. But I want to close and talk about Susan Thomas. I said this Friday, so some of you that were here will have heard it. There was a time, and Susan would admit this, and she wouldn't mind me saying it, because we've talked about it. There was a time in her life when she slipped away from God. She wasn't as faithful as she should have been. She wasn't making the impact she should have. But we changed, I say we, the elders changed some things around here, and we added a fellowship portion into our service. Now, listen, fellowship may not be for everybody to go back there, but fellowship should be, at least, I'm not talking about the eating, I'm talking about talking to one another, loving one another, helping one another. That's biblical. But it required a lot of people, and there's some ladies here who went to Susan and say, hey, would you help us? And boy, did she. She got involved and never looked back. Then she was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer years later. Went into remission and it came back. And towards the end of her life, I was teaching Bible class in the fellowship hall earlier this year. And I just got done mentioning Susan in prayer. So you remember her? She just had chemotherapy. And here Susan would come in. Susan would come in and knowing she's sick, knowing that she's losing her hair, knowing that she's losing weight day after day after day. And she would sit, listen, I'm not talking about people sitting in the back row, please don't understand that, but she would sit at the very front. And she'd get her notebook out, she'd get her Bible out, and she'd write notes. This past Sunday, she wasn't able to make it. Again, folks, she wasn't able to stand up. She couldn't even stand up. But she got up, got in the wheelchair, and it came time to worship. And she said, I'm going back to my bedroom so I can watch worship. Pam, who's here today, said, now we're going to watch it out here together. Oh, I can't get it on TV. So again, I said this Friday. Taylor got it fixed for him on the TV. So she said, Pam, I need my Bible. So Pam went and got her Bible. She said, Pam, I need my glasses. So Pam went and got her glasses. Pam, I need my notebook. She went and got her notebook. And as worship began and Bible class began and all that, she would write notes. And let me tell you something, she couldn't even hold her head up. So she was slumped over, writing her notes. The whole time wanting to be here. Here's the real talk. Some of y'all, you hadn't been here and you're perfectly healthy. We hadn't been here for Sunday school and we're perfectly healthy. Shame on us. Shame on us. You see, Susan, by being as sick as she was, she made an impact on me. I heard Bubba Galloway in his prayer made an impact on him. I'm hoping she'll make an impact on you. I'm hoping that you'll be inspired. I'm hoping that we'll have this number back on Wednesday night. I'm hoping that we'll have more than this come Sunday morning, because we went home and we decided we're going to tell people about Jesus and we're going to love people and we're going to do all the things Terry just talked about. So the real talk is this. If there's something in your life you need to change, we need to do it right now. We need to be better. Church, I love you with all my heart. I love my children too. But I'll tell them like God wants me to tell them. Just like I would want you to tell me like God would want you to tell me. Let's be better. Let's be different. Let's make an impact. Let's do it as together we stand and sing.